KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society's new concert season, which starts September 21st of this year and runs through May of 2019, all staged at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. The Portland Folk Music Society is pleased to present a lineup of national and regional artists, including Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore, the Kathy Kallick Band, the Honey Whiskey Trio, Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball, True North, Tish Hinojosa, Pat Donahue, Nina Gerber and Chris Webster, and Dave Stamey. And for the first time, the Portland Folk Music Society is offering season ticket packages at prices below single show rates, either online or at the door. For more information, go to the website kboo.fm and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 16th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Community, sanctuary, solidarity, paternity! OR7 is a daddy again. This is this is not news, actually. This is part of Oregon and Cascadia as a whole legend. So OR7, yeah, I thought we'd try to speak with Nick Cady this morning about the significance of this sacred moment. we've been hearing, we've got all kinds of headlines that begin with Donald Trump strips. And you think, oh no! And then it turns out to be he's stripping Brennan of his security clearance. The headlines really just nosedive from there. In Utah, a First Nations member has attempted to register to run for public office, and was thwarted clumsily at every step of the way. The story is long, and it's more of a sitting around the campfire drinking beer sort of a story. It lends itself to that kind of a setting. Nonetheless, it is very important. There are a number of First Nations people who are running for public office this time around, and some of them, in fact, are women. And in almost every case, there have been some sort of obstacle or stumbling block, some greater, some smaller. Nonetheless, when it is difficult for First Nations people to run for public office, we forget how stunningly egregious that is. We forget in many cases nowadays how stunningly egregious some of this stuff is. Notably, of course, Brennan, that the fact that he would his security clearance would be removed is absurd, because Trump needs all help he can get on every side. He himself has already proved to be a security risk and should not be around any kind of sensitive material whatsoever, because if he is, he puts the nation at risk. We don't know how how much the Russians have on him, and we don't know how they're prepared to use that information. Nonetheless, here's another one. As we begin this comment with Trump strips, we finish it with the thought that Trump has exposed himself once again. That said, we want to talk about OR7 because although it may seem like light material, it isn't. It's remarkable. And if some of these alpha predators are given half a chance, they will show us how to live lives of dignity, grace, and productivity. We have Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands on the line right now. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Thanks for being back with us today. Well, OR7 is something of a legend himself. There's no way anybody can say, oh, well, it might be a number of different wolves. He's probably, the original OR7 probably died and they got another one. Well, that's not possible because he's got everything. OR7 is tricked out with every kind of tracking device. What's he currently wearing?
Yeah, OR7 was fitted with a GPS collar, and I think they've replaced it once or twice, but...
they've replaced the collar, but not OR7 himself has not been replaced.
right, yeah, I should have clarified. Yeah, just the GPS collar, but yeah, so he... they have a really good... You know, the collar, I think, pings every 2 hours or 3 hours, and so there's some great maps that kind of show on California Fish and Game's website of how far this wolf has traveled. This wolf was sired in Northeast Oregon with the Omnaha pack, which was Oregon's first pack of wolves. So kind of a long and storied history, and now it's bred for the fifth consecutive year in a row in Southern Oregon, right near the California border.
That in itself is really remarkable. And his path, too, if we look at a map of OR7's, I believe his name is Journey, aside from OR7, and there's a terrific book out called Journey. It is a story of OR7. Hopefully we'll have that writer on the show at some point in the near future. It's definitely worth more than a look and a half. It's something else because of how do they figure that OR7 has managed to I mean, I would think is it all right to say jackass on the air? I don't know. But the people who want to have beer parties on the back part of their truck and shoot, you know, go out there more than plinking cans, they're sometimes plinking wolves. Poaching has been a problem in Cascadia for years and years. And it occurred to me when I was actually looking through the book that this type of hunter, I don't know if you can dignify them with even the term hunter, but there are maybe omega predators or something, would love to knock out OR7, and he's eluded every type of fate that wolves are susceptible to. How's he done it? And can I learn how to do it?
It's pretty incredible. The story of OR7 is one that is super incredible. And he's crossed a number. Crossing highways is also super dangerous for wolves. And one of the first wolves that came into Oregon was hit by a car and killed. It's an incredible, you know, unbelievable success story that this wolf not only went, you know, all the way down and deep into California and then back up into Oregon and survived, because wolves in the wild have a very short lifespan, like 6 to 7 years, generally. And so he's not only lived a long time, but he's made this incredible, you know, journey into California and Southern Oregon, and then also attracted mates from Northeast Oregon down to Southern Oregon and California as well.
So this is, how do you figure he's done? He's a success story. The Imnaha Pack itself is an extraordinarily successful pack. It seems, despite all odds, that wolves have taken to Cascadia. And I've learned from people, important people in my life, that one generally finds growing herbs, plants, growing in regions where there's some kind of particular disease or something, and a plant that has a remedy for that, that addresses that problem, is found growing where that disease emerges. It seems like, as though the animals, we also have animal cohorts that are present in a particular region at a time. They're there in the right place in the right time. Now that, I don't want to sound all woo-woo about this, but the an alpha predator success story is so rare these days that we have to look at it carefully. What do you see, and how is it that wolves have managed to make a comeback despite everything?
Well, I think wolves and a lot of different species, and just, you know, nature in general is incredibly resilient. And if, you know, if human beings give these species half a chance, they will recover and they will populate areas where they used to be with wolves. And they were actively poisoned out and eradicated. And that's the reason why they, you know, were extinct from the lower 48 for such a long time. You know, and if we, you know, we have to keep a strong watch on the state and different wildlife agencies that will try to shoot these wolves. The state of Oregon tried to kill OR7's father before he was born in 2012, and so this could be a totally different story if the state was allowed to acquiesce to livestock producers and kill this wildlife at the behest of a private industry. You know, we were able to prevent that from happening, and now we have this incredible success story. So I think if you give wolves a chance, they're going to do great, and they're going to have positive influences, not only for people and spreading their own species, but for a host of other species in ecological areas as well.
It's, I suppose, not worth pointing out to ranchers that running all these cattle, steers on open range land is responsible for, in many ways, all along the food chain, responsible for a considerable number of human deaths and in serious actionable damage to the environment in so many ways that in fact running cattle on this land, it should be a crime, and that's what we would be more important to address that problem than the idea that a wolf might run up and grab a calf in its huge jaws and run off into the forest. The comparison is it's unavoidable. The differences in the two, the way the two species affect our place in nature. We have to remember too that in nature doesn't consider people, human beings, any more important than a slug or a fly buzzing around the defecation sites of any of these animals. We aren't any more important, and nature will deal with us in this way. So we can't expect, we've created enormous fires, and it's very likely it'll destroy us or large parts of the population. It's probable that we're going to end up with these mega fires that burn all year round, and that the smoke in the air is not going to be an anomaly, but it's going to become a way of life, and in fact a way of death. That said, just bang on a couple things. Aretha Franklin died, she passed away. We have Paul Manafort, the jury is sitting right now, even as we speak, and Donald Trump, despite all his best efforts to silence the media all across the nation, there are op-ed pieces about the importance of the media and the folly of attempting to suppress the voice of the people, media being far from an enemy of the people. And we know exactly who the enemy of the people really is. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, August 16, 2018. Derek Crooks engineered for us today. Thanks, Derek. And Derek Crooks, of course, is the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. Thanks again. Second time. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. to celebrate the Native programmers and the Native community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Jack Malmstrom of Rose City Native Radio will host this special on-air program. You can join us at the Native Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.